Want to learn more about ways to create less waste and promote sustainable living, along with supporting small farms and business? You can. Today we talk with Cora Hagman, owner of Wonderfill Refillery, for great ideas. Welcome, Cora.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. I'm glad to be in here today and tell you a little bit about the store.
I am so excited to hear all about it. I feel like it was a quiet opening that you just kind of slowly, probably not for you, but from the public appearance, took over the old Vertical Coffee building.
Yes. Yes, we did.
The one with the CKVL mural on the side.
Mm-hmm. Or the rooster mural for everybody who doesn't know the letters.
Okay. Yeah. So you get to be the V? Is that the...
I think it's a K.
The K. Okay. Yeah. 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 You get to kind of put yourself in the mural and take pictures. But so where did this even come from? Let's first start with, what is the Wonderfill Refillery?
So a refillery is a bulk goods store. The majority of the product is going to be all natural, and we lean more into the household care and personal care products and less into food and grains. That is something we may get into eventually, but we focus more on, you can bring your own container and you can fill up your shampoos, conditioners, body wash, dishwashing liquid, laundry soap, kind of anything you could find in your pantry or under your sink, and you can buy it by the ounce. So you can buy as little or as much as you want, buy just enough to sample it. If you love it, come back and buy more. But that way we're reducing single-use plastics overall, and you're able to get more all-natural options that way too, since that's more of our focus as well.
Where did the idea come from to start something like this in Cookeville, Tennessee?
So I am from Clay County, so I'm not from very far from here, and I love Tennessee. I have no intention on leaving. But every time I go on vacation out west, I love the resources out there. I'm someone who grew up very small town, small farm, and I'm gluten free. And whenever I go out west, like, they really support these huge farmers markets, and they support all the people who have different dietary needs and that want to live a more holistic and natural life. And in going out there, every time we'd visit, I made a point to look up like stores. You could like get on Google and look up kind of all natural stores or hippie stores or whatever you might look up.
Crunchy stores.
Crunchy stores. And refilleries often came up. So we started making a point to
visit
them.
Had you ever even heard of a refillery?
No, I hadn't. The concept I've seen, the Good Shepherd here, yeah. Everybody knows the Good Shepherd.
Yes.
They have some bulk grains and stuff. So I'm not completely unfamiliar.
And I've seen that before. Like the grocery store, even I'm from Michigan, so it was a Meijer, if anybody is familiar with a Meijer. But they had like, you know, you could get your oatmeal that you could, you know, measure out in a bag or whatever. But I've never seen anything other than food products.
Yeah. So, and that's kind of what people are familiar with here. And we have 7 other refilleries in the state. So we're not the only one, but they're primarily in our large cities. So Memphis, Knoxville, Chattanooga, Chattanooga's just opened this last month, actually. And Nashville are where they are at. So upon discovering them out west, I looked them up when I got back and started visiting the ones here. And through that, discovered that they just serve the community. There's nothing really hard about shopping at one. They make it convenient. Most of them, including us, offer free containers that are upcycled, say pasta sauce jars or pickle jars. So we have free containers on hand, and so do very many refilleries where you can come in and you can truly just out of convenience buy what you're after without having to use any single-use plastics. And that just was so unique and creative and like meaningful to me. And I'd said if I ever lost my job or our company downsized for any reason, I would start my own business. And I really just locked onto this concept.
Did you jinx yourself, Cora?
No, I don't think I did. Okay. I left my previous job on very good terms.
Okay, okay.
So I have nothing but good things to say about my previous job. And I would say anybody should go work there. But I was just excited for the opportunity to really just throw myself full into having a business.
Well, and you mentioned that you were working in corporate America and you were working, you know, for a business. How has that been different between running a business and starting a business and working for somebody else? Like, I mean, there's just a lot of things you need to know, but then, you know, you mentioned before we started recording, you're it. You're the one that goes to all the meetings. You had to have somebody else come in to do a radio interview this morning.
Yeah. So I will say a big thing is learning how many bills there are as a business. I don't think I was ever prepared.
You're for, like, oh, the rent. I can do that.
Yeah. You think like, oh, there's rent and buying some product, but there is so much more. And it is just absolutely flabbergasting. So I think that was like the biggest shock for me. My previous job, I was working anywhere from like 60 to 80 hours a week. And that included my drive time, but I was driving across two states. So I could drive upwards of 30 hours a week. So as far as effort and energy and time, there's not much of a difference. If anything, I feel like I have more time than before. But I think just seeing the financial side of things and really getting a grasp of how expensive it is to run a business and make sure it is successful and staying within those parameters, that was like the most shell-shocking thing about going from working from someone else to working for myself.
I'm sure. We're here with Cora, the owner of Wonderfill Refillery here in Cookeville, Tennessee this morning. So would you consider this a zero waste business?
So we like to say, we say zero waste because it's the catchy thing that everybody knows. We consider ourselves more of a low waste. We live in a society in a time where zero waste is not happening. We don't want to judge anybody who comes in with their coffee cup from Vertical. We don't judge anybody for using straws. Like, we're absolutely trying to make this something that everyone feels comfortable to come in and shop. And it is an understanding. Us shipping in product, even if the company uses all natural biodegradable products and packaging, it still is a form of waste to have things shipped, even if we are getting them in bulk. So there's not really a way to do a full zero waste. And I don't think it's realistic or attainable to say that. It's just more of the catchy phrase that people use.
Do you think that we live in a society where we just have to start doing something? Small steps forward are going to make a large impact. If everyone, you know, stops buying the Tide huge, you know, Tide Pod container every single month or week or what, you know, however much clothing you do, you know. You know, if we all reduce that and you stop buying those, period, and you start reusing things, it can make a huge impact, even if it's just something so small that you think, ah, that's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. So a big thing is that we love to say in the store, or at least I love to say in the store, is it's progress, not perfection. And even though there are these big corporations out there who are producing more waste than you or I would ever be able to feasibly create, it still makes a difference, at least in our own individual lives, to reduce the amount of plastic and waste that we are creating. Plastics do break down. Like, if you were to drink, say, a hot bottle of water out of your car, the plastic that is holding that water has already started to break down and go into the water itself. So the more plastic you have in your house and is in the products or the food or the personal care or the hygiene that you're using, it's getting into those products also in micro ways, and that can infiltrate your body and your food and your household, your pets, your children. So you might not see giant reduction of landfills, but you know that you're not filling those landfills, and you're also not getting harmful microplastics into your body because you're overall reducing your exposure to it, which is really important.
Coming from Clay County, I'm guessing that recycling, reducing waste, probably not a huge initiative. I feel like it's not even, recycling is not even a huge initiative in the bigger city of Cookeville. I grew up that you had a recycling bin. Every household had a recycling bin. You know, that was, you weekly took the trash out and you took your recycling out, and they both came in the same day. This area does not seem as much like that. How did you get so interested in waste, you know, reducing chemicals in your body, all the, you know, kind of the holistic way of a lifestyle?
So even though I grew up in Clay County, like, growing up in Tennessee, in small town Tennessee, that doesn't make people, and not that you're saying this, but it doesn't make people uneducated to holistic ways of living. And I grew up on a farm with a mom who just deeply cared about these. She still cares about these things. And just lives a very holistic lifestyle. And that poured over into me. And as I moved out and kind of went through my young adulthood, I have just kind of followed that way of living. And when you learn about it and you know about it and you keep focusing on it, the more things that are done in the current way they're done stand out to you is just shocking. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're walking down the sidewalk, like, you'll just see trash everywhere. If you're on the beach, you're going to find trash everywhere. Like, even if you aren't living a zero waste life, you are still noticing that things are piling up, and it does make people care. And it made me care. Like, I love our creeks and streams. And if I'm on my, if I was on my property growing up, of course we wouldn't see any trash. The creek started at a spring at the top of our property. But if I'm going to Waterloo or anywhere else, other people are directly affecting the spaces that we want to enjoy by producing waste and not picking up after themselves. And then you think, well, the product that they bought is just outright in the single-use packaging. So how can we go about reducing the waste in the first place? Like, say say we carry food and we at least have granola, and you can come in and get a mason jar of granola. You're less likely to leave your mason jar sitting in the creek than you are to leave a Doritos wrapper laying in the creek.
For sure. And I think that it's about ease sometimes. I've recycled when it is easy. And when, you know, we moved here and I had to have all the bins in my garage and I'd have to drive them somewhere, I stopped doing it as much. I did it a little bit, but it wasn't as easy for me. And so I'm one of those people that I like an easier, more convenient life. And I think that's what the refillery does for people. It gives them that ease factor where it's like, it's just like driving to the store to buy your shampoo at Walmart. Instead, you're driving to downtown, you know, Cookeville, and you can get your shampoo still in Cookeville. It's not, you don't have to, it's not the inconvenience that you would normally see sometimes.
I fully understand what you're saying on that too, because one of the other things we preach is making sustainability attainable is all that we were missing here in Cookeville. A lot of people will say, well, they're in the South, so they don't care about the environment. People couldn't be more wrong on that.
For sure.
People around here do care about their environment, but recycling might not be attainable. Shopping in all natural, sustainable ways might not be very attainable, and we are helping provide that.
I could get on a soapbox about all the stuff they put in food, and it's the cheaper food is the least healthy. I've been trying to get on a kick, and to eat healthier, clean food, it's less attainable for sure. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. This morning, we're talking with Cora, the owner of Wonderfill Refillery here in Cookeville, Tennessee. So tell me what the process is like to walk in. I feel like it could be, some people are probably very intimidated. I don't know what it is. It's like going to Aldi and you have to have your quarter in the bags and all that kind of stuff. So what's the process like? What can somebody expect when they walk in?
So we want to make this as easy as possible for every customer as we can. So you can either bring your own container. I like to tell people they could literally bring a ketchup bottle. That gives a good example of when I say any container, we mean any container, as long as it's clean, dry, and has a lid. If you bring in your own container, you will bring it up front to where we're at, up by the register, and we will get an original weight or a tear weight on your container and write that on the bottom with a chalk marker so you can wipe it off your container. After we get a tear weight, you can either ask for assistance of getting any of our bulk refills, or if you're familiar with it and you're comfortable to go fill it up yourself, you can go pick any of our refillables, whether it's with a pump or a gravity-fed giant bucket or with scoops for our dry goods, and then you fill up your container with as much or as little as you want. If you don't have your own container, do not fret. We have containers for sale, but to incentivize creating less waste, upcycling is always the better alternative to buying new product. So we also have a community cabinet full of free jars, and that is sanitized baby food jars for sample sizes, pasta sauce, pickles, olives. We make sure that it is odor-free by the time you get it, but those are all up there. You go and select whatever jar you'd like, and you bring it back up to the counter for us. Same thing. We take a tear weight on it, and then you go fill it up as much or as little as you like there. So there's multiple options on the containers that you can use and bring, and then it's kind of asking for help, and we'll happily give our assistance filling it up for you, or you can do it yourself.
Do you take donations of the upcycled jars that you have there? Can people donate them if they have some at their house?
That's how we've gotten all of our jars so far. And shout out to everybody who has brought me baby food jars, because those really do make the best sample size jars. But we actually will do like a call to action on our social media when we're in need, because we already have so many regulars just in the 2 months we've been open bringing us jars. We've not ran out. And most recently, the Tennessee Legends Distillery, we found out that the amber glass can't be recycled, and they go through a lot of amber glass. Mm. So they're going to start dropping off their amber glass and recorking it for us so that we can sanitize them. And you have to think a distillery bottle is the perfect grab and pour for laundry soap and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we will start having those in our upcycle cabinet as well. So we should stay pretty stocked going forward.
So you started about 2 months ago. How has that process been? Are people just loving it, eating it up? Are people unsure? Are people, how has that process been?
I think we're seeing a little bit of all of that happening because the people who find us on social media have an idea of what we are. So they're coming in and they're excited to see us and they've found us. We also have people who are coming in from across the street, as we are across from Vertical and Jeans, and anybody out to grab a coffee and go for a walk wants to stop in and check out a new store. So we see some mixed reactions of we love it and we're so excited you're here and we're confused and what in the world is this?
Mm-hmm.
And we like to tell people that we're a little bit of an everything store because I know people have been hearing us talk about these refills and that's not all you can find in our store. We also have a variety of goods of soaps and prints and postcards and clothing and pots for plants, and I could go on and on, but think of everything you'd find in your typical housewares or gift shop, and we have that, and the majority of our products are actually coming from Tennessee makers and small farms so that we can make sure that not only is the community supporting a small business, but that small business is going back and supporting the community.
Where did that come from, the initiative to make sure it stays local, you support, you know, your hometown kids?
I love Tennessee, mm-hmm. like through and through. I love Tennessee and I love supporting local, and people talk about wanting a strong local economy. Well, you make a strong local economy by feeding back into the local economy. So, of course, being a business, I'm going to do the things that I wanted to see because I'm not going to see them unless somebody's doing it. And the more people that do it, the more common it becomes and the more that other people in the future will make these decisions as well.
Speaking of the local economy, so you're right on Spring Street. Like you said, Vertical Coffee Company is across the street and Jean's Pizzeria. And there's the table is down that way. So what do you, as a business in kind of a small business section of town, what do you hope to offer the community or, you know, as part of this small business?
So we also are in what is dubbed the Spring Street's Arts District, because mm-hmm. you also have Picasso's Gift Shop and Photo Art and Mary Lee's Art Studio, and Mary Habith has the Whimsical Hand on the back end. So we have all these little art things. Oh, Cookville Art Studio is right up the hill on Walnut. I could literally throw a rock and hit their building, it feels like.
Yeah.
So we have all these arts, and we want to just make sure that we're helping feed into that because a community really does need the arts. Mm-hmm. And we've started partnering with Picasso's Gift Shop to do the first Friday event on Spring every month. Art Round Tennessee does a fantastic job of supporting other small artists, but they go from different locations every month. And those first 2 months I was there, I didn't realize they went to different locations because we did two back-to-back on Spring, which as a small business owner is very helpful. And it's also helpful for the community to know where a set thing is going to be each month. So we have started working with the neighboring businesses to drive up traffic on those first Fridays at the beginning of each month and kind of helping to advertise them to bring more people to that downtown area. The West Side and Broad gets so much narrative around town.
Foot traffic.
And foot traffic. Yeah. But Spring, we are just one street over and we just don't see those numbers. And we're just a street away.
Yeah.
So we're really hoping.
But it is a state highway.
Yes.
That's, you know, Spring Street Highway 70 goes miles. I mean, you can take it to Crossville. I think you can take it all the way to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So Spring Street is, you know, it is hard. You're fighting against that. Sometimes there's semi-trucks that are, you know, going down the street a little bit. And so, but I love that the neighbors are all coming together to really lean into that arts district.
Yeah. And that has been great. And you're right on, like, the road just is hazardous. That crosswalk mm-hmm. and our sidewalks down there are just in disrepair. One mm-hmm. of our sidewalks isn't even ADA compliant. The wheelchair ramp has a light pole sticking out the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing the road work down there right now to fix the storm drains in the sewers. And we're hoping that with that, they also are going to repair those sidewalks in that road. And fingers crossed, this might be a big ask, but upgrade those crosswalks so they are less hazardous and potentially add more in. I see people jaywalking all the time from that gravel lot across the street just to go to Vertical Coffee, because mm-hmm. even if they wait and go down to the crosswalk's barely visible and people turn right on red not thinking you can't turn right on red when there's a pedestrian in the crosswalk.
There is that area of town is very, you know, the parking lot, the big parking lot is across from the church. That's across, like, there's a, where the parking is not convenient to where you have to cross some main streets to get to most mm-hmm. of what you're doing. So you mentioned art and partnering for art events. Are you part of the Art Prowl this year?
I am going to be part of the Art Prowl. They stopped by sometime last month. Everything has been a blur because we've just been so busy with the beginning. But they stopped by, and I'm not sure which artist we'll have featured inside of our store, but we'll have at least one artist.
That's awesome. That's a great way to get people in there to just, people do that event. And so they walk the whole Art Prowl, which is an event in, I think, the second weekend of November, but just kind of getting people in there, and then they can kind of snoop around without having to buy things.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you're okay with people coming in, even if they're not buying things, just to take a look, and you can kind of give them a tour no matter what.
I think that's a smart thing to bring up for any business owner, is it's easier to get people to come back if they at least come in one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say this for any business owner, be happy people come in and don't spend anything, because they're more likely to come back a second time if they do.
I think people get really bothered by it. Business owners can get really bothered by that. They didn't even make any purchases, but it's like, but at least they've been in and now they know what they can get in. And you can see them again next time. Stick around to learn more from Cora from Wonderful Refillery. Thanks for sticking around. I'm Tiffany Anton, and I am here this morning with Cora, the owner of Wonderful Refillery. We've talked about products you've had. We've talked about how the process works. How do you select your products, and has that been a difficult process for you to even kind of undertake?
I think that selecting the products isn't too hard, just because there are resources available. Refilleries are a pretty large scale thing. While we don't have a lot here in Tennessee, they are a worldwide concept. Canada has several. So there are companies who are working on creating products specifically for zero waste and refillery type stores. So we have two of them, Great Fill and Rustic Strength, are two that we use. They use what's called closed loop. So they're all natural bulk products that they create. They ship it to you in what's called a carboy, so a 5-gallon container, until we are ready to order 35-gallon drums. Hopefully that'll be soon. But once your containers are empty, they send you a free shipping label and you can send it back. They sanitize those containers and reuse them.
Wow.
So for as far as our bulk goods go, there are several resources that the refilleries use.
Which, I mean, I wouldn't have even thought about that portion of things. But if you're hoping to instill reusability and upcyclability, I just made up those words, I think. But, you know, with your customers, you have to kind of live that truth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So working with companies that believe in that as well, you kind of have to buy into that.
Yes. So like, and that's just as far as our refills go. We use a wholesale site that actually will let you sort by, the word leaves me, but like what you're shopping for. So if you're shopping for eco-friendly and mm-hmm. zero plastic and not on Amazon, you can actually like sort out by those things. So anytime fair trade, ensuring that no slave labor was used in making the products that we're ordering, trying to keep all of the products that we buy domestic. That's also been really important to us because it's not sustainable to ship overseas. Anyways, so we sort by all of those things, and then we are choosing businesses who are falling inside of all the categories that we want to shop.
What's your number one product so far that you have, you know, most people keep coming back for?
The Earthling Co. shampoo bars. That really truly is like our number one hit. I've personally used them for 2 years. We have several customers who are so excited that
bars of soap.
They're like bars of solid bars of soap mm-hmm. that replace like up to 3 bottles of shampoo. They're great. The conditioner bar by them has not been so popular, but I personally don't use it either, so I'm having a hard time selling it.
Yeah.
But their shampoo bar is great, and people will just keep coming back. As soon as they're out, they're buying another one.
The other thing with shampoo bars is that they're fantastic for travel. Mm-hmm. If you fly in an airplane, it doesn't count as a liquid. And so I use shampoo bars for travel purposes, and I wasn't really sure about it at first. It's like you're rubbing a bar of soap into your hair, but it works fantastic.
They really do. And it depends on the brand. That's why the Earthling Co. one has been so popular, because it is like one of the best, most effective lathering ones out there. But people like that simple swap. I think that's why it's been so popular too, is because it's already something everybody uses as a shampoo. And it is an easy swap to no plastic, to just get a bar in a little box.
So we kind of mentioned earlier about the fact that a lot of times cheaper food is less healthy for you, has a lot of toxins in it, all that kind of stuff. Now, with a place that you're bringing in your own containers, it's more natural products. How's price comparison to shop, you know, going to Walmart and getting your shampoo at Walmart?
We are not going to be competitive with a Dollar Tree or the Dollar General or like Walmart's Walmart brand. Like, those are so mass produced and they're using such cheap ingredients. I can't compete with a dollar bottle of shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
But I am competing with like your mid-range to high-end ones, but still beating them out as far as ingredients go. So you aren't going to get the cheapest replacement, but we're almost one for one with like that mid-range and the lower end of high-end.
So like Native is a brand that I just popped in that's kind of a more holistic, natural, supposed to be brand of deodorants and body wash, and so kind of competitive with that.
We are definitely competitive with them on pricing, and we are better than them because they're more of a greenwash brand. They did just sell off their company.
Oh, okay.
And I don't quote me on when or to who, but it was like to one of the big like overarching
mm-hmm.
companies who do all of the laundry soaps and stuff. So I know that we're going to be seeing some ingredient changes on the back end with that too. But it's an all natural brand that uses bulk mass plastic
right.
packaging. So mm-hmm. you're saving money on a lot of these products too. Like, for example, our Little Seed Farm deodorant that we carry, which they're based out of Lebanon, Tennessee. If you buy
it comes with like a stick.
Yes.
And yeah, yes, I had actually bought some for my daughter years ago, but yeah, it's
theirs is super effective. I prefer it over Native. I did not like Native's deodorant. I like the Little Seed Farm deodorant, specifically their activated charcoal one. But if you buy their fresh container from them, it is like $15 for the little glass jar. If you come in to refill it, or you can refill a baby food jar because it's the exact same size, we have found out, it ends up being like $10.50 to $11 to refill that jar. So if you are already shopping a sustainable brand and we carry their product, you for sure are going to save because we get a better deal on it because we're not having to pay for all that packaging.
Yeah.
So
how can people find what product grant lines, what product brands that you carry in the store?
That's a great question. I wish I could answer right now, but I'm still working on our website. I'll repeat that a couple more times, I'm sure. But we were going to have an available refill section. But since it is just me for the most part running this store, between doing events and coming and doing great things like this and sitting down with you, Tiffany, I kind of keep pushing the website to the back burner, and it's really just if you message us on Facebook, I will happily send you the entire list of what we have and the prices that go with it, but it'll probably be like a month or two before I finally get the available refills on our website.
How, keeping merchandise in stock, you know, some stores that are smaller, not necessarily refilleries, but it's a different product every single time I go in. Are you able, if I fall in love with a shampoo or a deodorant, am I able to consistently find that, or is it going to be different products each time?
We are definitely going to have staples. So like the Little Seed Farm, for example, they will be a staple. We will consistently have their products in bulk. Once we get their whole lineup of scents, we will have every scent in stock. Same with the Earthling Co. shampoo bars and conditioner bars. People have been falling in love with them. I did two little small restocks, and after the second restock, I realized people want these. So we've just committed to buying their entire line in bulk, and we're going to just keep that line in stock. But I'm not going to keep things in stock if my customers are giving me bad feedback.
Yeah.
I don't care if other people might buy it. If I'm not getting good feedback on it, or if I've personally tried it and it's not a good product and I can't stand behind it, I'm not going to carry products I can't stand behind personally.
So it might take you a bit to really kind of find exactly the products that you stand behind and support.
Yes. So we are still in the feeling it out stage, but I also tell people if you have a brand you love and you want to recommend it, I am all ears. And if we can get it in wholesale and we think there's a market for it, we'll even try out other products upon customer recommendation.
Do you plan to have workshops? And I was a stay-at-home mom, my kids were little, I made my own baby food a bit. My best friend makes her own laundry detergent. Do you plan to have workshops to kind of teach people the importance of some of this stuff?
So currently on Tuesday evenings, we have an essential oil class that a lovely vendor in our store comes in and teaches. That is the only class we have right now because everything is so chaotic with getting the store up and running. But down the line, we want to have classes like teaching composting and proper recycling. And if it's for a kid or we're doing a youth group, we do plan on making them free. And if it's a class where you're going home with product, there'll be a small fee involved, mostly just to cover the cost of the product. Next year, we would love to start a community garden, but that one is still pending. But we definitely plan on trying to educate the community. The mix of education with making it attainable is really what is going to make this thrive in this community, truly.
You definitely have some big plans and big visions for what this could be. Do you plan on what is your 5-year plan here?
My 5-year plan is 5 stores, and my husband thinks I'm crazy. But my 5-year plan is 5 stores. Like, Franklin, Tennessee is booming and growing and pouring over itself, and it could use one. Murfreesboro could use one. And these type of stores,
I feel like Clay County could use one.
Yeah, like, these are the type of stores that, like, proximity to other stores like it don't really affect it, because it's really a matter of convenience. Mm-hmm. And it's everybody in this area has these values. So we do kind of have this growth plan and trajectory where I'm like, they take a small square footage, they take a small amount of product if you have a smaller square footage, and we just want to keep growing. I don't know if I'll ever want a franchise, but my previous job, I did so much travel. It just makes sense to me that eventually I would oversee several of my own stores.
If people want to find, we kind of mentioned it's on the corner of Spring and Walnut. If people want to find out more, is there social media they can follow along with? Or
currently we are on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and we have a website. All of those are under Wonderfill Refillery, because we are the only
one. And Wonderfill is Wonderfill, not Wonderful.
Yeah. So it's like Wonderful, but with an I and an extra L. Hence the play on the fill and the refill. Yes. And then refillery is the word refill with E-R-Y at the end. You just bump those two together, and that's going to be our handles on everything.
And so people can follow along on social media. And is that the best way to contact you, is to send a message through social media if they have questions on things?
Through social media is always the best, because we have the social media platform set up so it comes through like a text on my phone. If you ever send me an email, it's great, but it gets so buried in all of the wholesale requests and everything else that we have in there that it may get sent to spam. So Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, those are always the best ways.
What's the one thing that you want people who are too intimidated to walk into the store to know?
I'm friendly. Like, we are so excited. Like, if you come in and you don't want to engage, like, if you tell me, no, you don't need any help, I'll leave you be. You can shop in peace. We'll sit in silence. Actually, won't be in silence. I'll have some really good music playing. But don't be intimidated to come in. I've got some really neat stuff. If you just want to come in and browse, I tell everybody, I just want my store to make your day 10% better, even if you don't buy anything.
And yeah, I was going to say, let's remind the listeners that you encourage people to stop in to check it out without, not necessarily encouraging them not to make a purchase, but you're okay with them coming in and just checking it out and scoping out what's inside there. You encourage that.
Yes, absolutely. And we have it set up. We have a kids play corner set up so that parents can browse mindfully while their kids are in a safe space away from the front door. We have seating available for your shopping partner who's not going to shop as long as you to sit, with books and coloring books available, keeping the anxious generation in mind, maybe not be on our phones so much. But we do encourage people to come and utilize our space, not just to have to come in and purchase something.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Check out the Wonderfill Refillery over on Spring Street. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Tiffany.